Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of SW Podcast. It is Wednesday, February 2nd, and we are 2022
Prosperity,
today.
Baby. Prosperity. Y'all better recognize that 22 and 22 today. You better go out there and manifest what you need to manifest right now, because, baby, 2-2 partnership. 2-2 is better than 1. You better. Okay. I ain't gonna say no more, but I'm telling you, you better pray for what you want today.
So we're gonna jump into the show. Y'all heard Queen. So we're gonna jump on in. We got a guest on the day, y'all. We have an author by the name of Miss Brooke Taylor on today, and we're gonna be talking about her brand new book. So that's gonna be great. A wonderful discussion. It's anytime we have another Black Queen on the show, y'all, it's a brilliant thing. And we enjoy it. It's a wonderful conversation. And just looking out, reading up on what her book is about and getting to know her a little bit behind the scenes has been refreshing enough. So we're going to bring Ms. Brooke Taylor on in a moment. But for now, we're going to go ahead and jump into the show. And of course, y'all already heard what Queen had to say about what 2-2-2022 means to her.
Station day.
But we're going to just go ahead and do the quote of the day so we can get into the conversation with our guest today, because we, as y'all know, anybody who tunes in on a regular basis, when we have a guest, we like to have them be included in the conversation of the day and get, you know, to have their opinions on the quote of the day and things of that nature. So y'all go ahead and give a round of a bringing out Miss Brooke Taylor today, y'all. I can't wait to talk to this sister. So our quote of the day is, let's go ahead and bring that up. I want to be remembered as someone who used herself in anything she could touch to work for justice and freedom. I want to be remembered as one who tried. Dorothy Hikes.
Come on, I likes that. I likes that. It's best to try than not try at all. I likes that.
You're putting the fears to the side that you can't do it. So go ahead and jump out there. It's something you wish to do, do it. Isn't that, you know, especially in this particular time when this quote was actually made, it was in the 50s. And, you know, it was a whole lot going on against the Black movement. African-American people were, of course, we constantly suffering. It's constantly a reputable war against Black people in this country. But as far as this woman that made this statement, she knew that if there was nothing else that she could do with her time, her efforts, her monies, she could fight for justice. She could fight for freedom. And she was going to do that every single waking day of her life. And there's people that actually dedicated their lives to the movement to try to make sure everybody had the same, you know, possibilities and the same circumstances, the same opportunities, regardless of circumstances. So I appreciate that quote. We're going to go ahead and bring on our guest, Ms. Brooke Taylor, so we can get her opinion on this quote and bring her on and let her give us an introduction of who she is. And we're going to get into all of how she got started and all of that during the interview. But I definitely want y'all to know about this woman. Let's learn about a little bit about her all together today. So we're going to welcome on Ms. Brooke Taylor.
Yeah. I love the name.
Hello, please.
How you doing?
Hello.
How are y'all on this Wednesday?
We are wonderful.
Great.
It's probably Wednesday. So, Ms. Brooke, we are happy to have you. We have a quote of the day on our screen. And did you hear what it was already?
Yes.
Okay. So, did you have a little bit of time while you heard it to just, you know, to think about what you wanted to say about it?
Yeah. First of all, I love Dorothy Hike. She is truly an inspiration. And it's crazy because that particular quote, I can feel so deeply because I feel like that's along the path that I'm living in my life. Everything I do is for our people and for our youth. It's imperative that we have justice and that we fight for freedom. We don't want to be complacent. We don't want to continue to sit around as if there is not a war being waged against us. And we should be working every day towards trying to liberate ourselves. So I feel that to my core.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that response because that is exactly what Ms. Hyatt was kind of, you know, was demonstrating. She's talking about the constant of what we have to do. It's not a stop. It's not a, you can't just give up and take a halt in this. This is a constant race. So I appreciate that response. It gives you a little bit more insight on and clarity on what she meant. So with this particular quote, what's going on, E?
How you doing, E?
So I'm gonna go back. I want to go back to that quote really quick. With this particular quote, if you had to have the opportunity to do something outside of what you do with your what you bring to the table, if you couldn't do that, but you had to do something different, what would your other choice be outside of the revolution that you're currently walking through now?
Well, if I wasn't writing in particular to be a voice for the people, I would practice law. I've always been a huge fan of being a lawyer and the idea of being able to defend my people. And it's very funny because me and my husband were just having this conversation last night, and I was saying I would prefer being a defense attorney over a prosecutor because then that way I can represent my people. And he asked me, he was like, well, would you want to be a court appointed lawyer or would you want to have your own practice? I'm like, well, I would want to be both because I know when it comes to the criminal justice system, most court appointed defense attorneys don't really care. They have huge flow, and that is why a lot of us go through plea deals and things like that. So if I wasn't writing, I would pursue law so that I could be in the forefront of defending our people.
And you're given the opportunity to fight for different things on that other end, because like you said, as court appointed attorney, you actually work for the state. You know what I'm saying? The care and concern isn't as strong when you have your own defense attorney. Let's see what we got going on here. Oh, so we got somebody you know on here. I like when your viewers come on and give you shout outs because that means that you got people that's interested in what you want to say, what you got to say. You know what I'm saying? That's important. And
that's my love right there.
I love that. Thank you definitely for the support with Ms. Brooke Taylor today. So you got a couple questions on your layout for your interview setup and when you're doing press. And this lady means business, y'all. She has a press kit. She has her, she knows what she needs to, you know, to me, that is being always making sure you're in control of not just the conversation, but where you want the conversation to go, because people aren't stepping on your toes, trying to, you know, be too deep. People get nosy. So this, to me, I thought this was a beautiful thing, Ms. Taylor. You did a justice with that. We always have our own, you know, questions for interviews, but it's a standard template. If you wouldn't have had this, I would have sent you that. But the fact of the matter is you came prepared and you knew what you wanted to discuss. And I'm telling you, and not only that, it made me interested in learning more beyond this. So whatever you do feel like, you know, speaking further on, if you do, that's your opportunity to do so. I appreciate that. Yeah. So I did mention that we're going to also be discussing a little bit of Black women's accountability because a lot of people, and I want to start off with this, so anybody that is listening, have this thought process in mind, because when we do get into that portion of the conversation, we love the viewers to leave comments and, you know, get into the conversation with us. So today's conversation is transparent and definitely about accountability of us, because a lot of people in a lot of culture think we don't, as Black women, it's so much negative betrayed in the Black woman. Mm-hmm. And we have to receive it from the streets. the in crowd, the out crowd, the family, the media, yeah. jobs, you know, your own culture. Like, we have a systematic destination of destruction set up for us. And as Black women, as the strongest people in our tribes, not because, let me tell you something now, I love my Black men. I love my Black queen kings. They are they are the epitome of men. But what my point is that the Black woman has the most disrespect in this whole country, this whole race of anyone. So I want you to think about why that's the necessary force that's being struck against us. Mm-hmm. Listeners, viewers, anybody that wants to comment later, and when we get into that conversation, I want you guys to think about why the standard is set to destroy us more than to destroy anybody in this world. We know the Black man is the most hated
right
in this country, but the Black woman is the most disrespected, intolerated. I mean, any nasty negative word you come up with, that's what you can use to define how people feel about the Black woman. So we're going to get into that conversation. But first, we're going to get to know a little bit about our author and our guest, Ms. Brooke Taylor. Queen, you got anything you want to say to Ms. Brooke before we get started? Are you ready to learn too?
Just welcome. Appreciate you. And I got to get the book.
I already looked up. I'm gonna send you this. Well, you got the messages. You should be able to see it.
I'll go back through the email.
Yes,
got to get that.
Okay. So question one.
Yes.
What inspired you to write The Black Queen Struggle?
You pretty much just laid it out for me, Queen, because woman is the most disrespected and most we get treated like we are less than, and
yes.
And we are, there's no other woman who they're being targeted not only by outside forces but inside forces as well. Mm-hmm. We have a lot attacking us at one time, and it was imperative that we have a discussion about the Black Queen struggle, what we've done and what we've been through, our experience. And my book pretty much lays out that there is no other woman on the planet who has experienced what we've experienced, but there is no other woman on the planet who embodies what we embody. We are the original woman. And that's what my first chapter is about. We are the original, and there is no reason for us to be treated in this fashion, because without us, there is no other offspring. And it speaks to what you were just saying, Queen, as far as the Black woman being the most disrespected. Yeah, the Black man is the most hated, but there's a target on the Black woman because we are the teachers of our nation. So if you destroy the Black woman, the Black man can't be much if she's raising him. So the whole point of my book and what inspired me is the fact that I'm a Black woman and I am obsessed with myself, and I love myself with the utmost level of love. And I want other Black women to have that same level of love and confidence, not only for themselves, but for each other. Whenever I'm in public and I see a Black woman, I automatically connect with her just because I know she is my sister. I have no animosity for any other Black woman in the world. Even if she had animosity for me, I need to sit down and have a conversation with you, sis. There's no reason for any of that. So I want us to love ourselves, love each other, and realize that without each other, we're going to continue to be targeted because we're so disconnected. And I want our book to be, you know, a bridge to us uniting and being together.
That was wonderful. And it gives a greater definition, I mean, greater aspect and more of a broader range of understanding why people want to keep the separation of the Black woman. Because once Black women join forces, the reckoning.
To be reckoned with.
That can be done with that. So why the people are constantly fighting to keep us separated, with your book, and with what chapter or what dynamic in your book will speak more on what you're doing and how you're doing things? Because I know, for one, you said you're working with the kids, and it starts with our youth. You got to start when they're, you have to start. Queen and I were a part of a nonprofit like that, with that, when, and we work directly with the children, because you know that's the first step. But with the way you have your book set up, do you have the dynamic to speak in that book to tell people how they should be trying to build those bridges? Are you giving them those bridges and those ways to do that in that book?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, let me open it up right now. I could tell you exactly what chapter it is. So definitely in chapter 5, Us Versus Them. In that particular chapter, it pretty much lays out how it's not us against each other, it's us against the world.
That's right.
Even though this is the Black Queen struggle, we need our king, we need our children, and we need our elders.
Yep.
So it talks more about how we need to have that conversation. We need to have that good relationship with our children so that they're not growing up resenting us. They're not growing up feeling like they're ready to run away.
Right.
Or, you know, we want to make sure that as they grow, they feel that they have our support. And as they become adults, they continue to feel that they have our support, because I know for my particular generation, I just turned 30 yesterday.
Happy belated birthday.
For my particular generation, I know a lot of us are coming into ourselves damn near 30, where there's a lot of information we could have been provided a lot sooner. And I know that our parents they only know what they know. So once we obtain certain levels of information, we got to make sure that we are providing that information to our children so that they are not dealing with the same struggles that we dealt with.
That's right.
And as long as we keep that communication open and we don't look at our elders as just old folk, and we actually have those conversations as well, that will bridge that gap and make sure we are all whole together. We just can't do it alone.
That's very true. And I've learned that, because even in having certain conversations with my mom, a lot of times when I was growing up, she might have been adverse to not, you know, hearing certain things that I would have to speak on. But now that as an adult, the conversation has to be different when I come to her, because I know what the approach was before and how that turned out. So now when you come, I'm like, Mom, well, I'm always going to be that person that's going to be the other voice. So let me give you this side of things. Let me show you this is another way it could be done. Like, so now, you know, in order to educate them on certain things, because a lot of times when they get to a certain age, they're not looking to be educated on culture things. They're just trying to get by and live.
Exactly.
And get to a retirement age. And a lot of people aren't constantly educating themselves. So in our age, in our time, we're the people that are responsible for that. Mm-hmm. So like you said, you have to, you can't just teach the children without giving it to the elders as well. We all, even if they don't, and it's just like, you know, you have to come with a certain approach when you're talking to children. You have to have a different approach when you're coming to elders. Yes. Everything can't be straight, direct, and reclusive how we can talk to each other. And sometimes how we talk to each other is a lot of the reason why people don't want to hear it as well.
True.
So how long did it take you to write this book?
I would say about a year. I started writing it in 2018. I was done in 2019. And of course, COVID existed all of 2020. So it was published February of last year. So along with my birthday, I was celebrating the anniversary of Black
Panther. I like that.
That's great.
Bring it out on that D-Day, on that Born's Day. Bring it out on that Born's Day. Yes, 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 yes.
So how did you come up with the name for your book? What made you call this book The Black Queen Struggle?
To me, it just came to me and it was perfect to summarize what the entire book was about. A lot of times people who have not yet read my book or purchased it, they are like, Black Queen Struggle? Oh, okay. I want to see what that's all about. Yeah. Because and you can see that I'm referring to us as queens, but acknowledging that we've had a struggle.
Correct.
So we want to know more about who we are and what we've endured and see how we overcome that. And that's how I felt the title would come across to people.
That was it. So when you named the book, was it before you wrote it, you had an idea what you want to name it, or like during the process, or after you've finished the whole book and read it again, it was like, oh yeah, this is what this needs to be?
I knew the name of the book before I wrote it.
Gotcha.
So that way you were able to focus your chapters and your perspective around the title.
Yes.
I like that.
I've heard people come with the, you know, I got the name halfway in between writing the book or close toward the end. But I think that's a little bit different when it comes to a direction. If you're already coming in with a direction, it's a little easier to have a name because you want to stay along the direction. Yeah. But if you're writing a book that has chapters that are manifesting and constantly changing, you can probably rename the book 12 times.
Right. Yes.
That's true. That's true.
I couldn't imagine this book being named anything other than
anything Black else. Panther. Right. Exactly. Because you knew exactly what you were coming in to focus on. You knew the dedication and who you were targeting. Yes. So that's important when you have a goal in mind with a book.
That is so awesome.
What was the most challenging chapter to write in this book for you?
The most challenging.
Look, you're looking through the book.
The most challenging, I would say, well, they all were, I love it all. I guess the first chapter, because the first chapter dives into some real serious history about the Black woman. It goes through our originality. So we going back to the motherland. We talking about the first Black women who walked on this earth and really going into in depth the fact that we are the first woman. So I had to do a lot of research and pull up some serious information to show us historically, scientifically, biologically that it's us. And
I like
there
that.
Is nothing else.
Your history at the beginning, and then I'll get you where you need to be all the way through it to the end.
Exactly.
I like that.
And it gives proof, because you know, yes, a lot of people,
right,
don't want to talk about it if you don't got no proof.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
But you giving them the proof without them even asking for it, even though you know they want to know it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's good. That the direction of that is good. I like that. How would you handle a bad or a negative review of your book?
I'm unfazed by a negative review. I feel like my book speaks for itself in a way that if you dislike it, it speaks more to your character than the book or my ability to write. Because I want it to be very clear on the facts, and I wanted to be very clear on who this book was for. So I can't really see anybody that looks like me not liking the book.
Yeah.
So if you do look like me and you don't like it, I'm confused more so than you know anything.
I saw a statement that said I thought it was real good too, because it's kind of leans more toward what you just said. I'm unfazed. But the comment was, you don't always blame the person that don't always be offended by someone saying what they said. It sometimes it may just be you and how you heard it. So
that's true.
And that's pretty, you know what I'm saying? Like it's not to me, honestly, even in a negative, even because you got to get criticism. Everybody can get criticism. Exactly.
That help you grow.
Yeah, exactly. So within that negative review, if you're looking at it as if, oh, this is a trigger warning or something like that, then you might not need to be doing press. You right. just probably need to sell the book, sit behind the screen, but then you're not going to give people the opportunity to get to know the author. Yeah. So you want to do that too, especially when you're dealing with the crowd that you're reaching towards. So you need to be a person that's a personable person in this particular line of work. So, will you be publishing any more books soon?
Absolutely. I'm working on number two right now.
Come on now.
Very soon. And they're going to love this one. And if you read Black Queen Struggle and you love it, you're going to love the second one because, like I said, even though this is Black Queen Struggle, we got to focus on our kings. My second book will be more Black male specific. Even though, of course, Black women experience some of the injustices that Black men experience, but we need to have a serious conversation about what our brothers are dealing with as well.
Yes.
I like that.
Because they go through a lot. They do.
A little spinoff. But for the men.
Right.
For the men. I like that. I like it.
Okay. Who's your favorite author?
Toni Morrison. I love her.
Yes.
Yes. I have a dedication to her in the first page.
Okay.
I'm gonna go ahead and get this book.
Got to.
Because I wanna be able to read through because I know that our struggles are all the same, but I also know some of us experience different struggles, even though they may have some of the same outside views.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the way we deal with it and have to get through it and how you get through it is different. So I definitely want to read that because when you're talking about the Black Queen struggle, you're going to be talking about what you've experienced, the research you've read, talking to people and, you know, gathering information for it. And that's more so, and that's not to separate this woman from the next one, but it does give a good outlook on this particular, on who you spoke with and some of the things they went through because it's going to help this woman out, even if some of her struggles are different. Right. That's what I'm saying. So I really can't wait to delve into it a little bit and get it and delve into it because I want to know exactly about those particular struggles versus the struggles I had, but even though knowing that we all have them. So, yes. What does success look like for you?
Success for me is just the ability to inspire somebody else. If I'm able to speak or publish a book and it makes you feel more confident or inspires you to do more, that's success for me. I don't think that having a particular car or house or a particular amount of money is success because we'll find that our greatest and most favorite Black leaders were not rich by any means, but they in such a way that we're inspired. And they didn't have what the typical person would consider success. So if I'm able to inspire or if my book is able to teach somebody something that they had no idea about and it makes them want to learn more and they go pick up another book and another book, then that is success for me.
That's beautiful.
I like that.
Yes.
Now, do you mind if I read your book excerpt from chapter one?
I do not mind.
It's a quote. Well, I'm going to read the quote from Mr. John Clark. I thought the quote was just dynamic. So the people in the culture of what is known as Africa are older than the word Africa. According to the most records, old and new, Africans are the oldest people on the face of the earth. The people now called Africans not only influenced the Greeks and the Romans, they influenced the early world, before there was a place called Europe.
Yeah.
So
come on now.
I don't know how long ago this was, but think about the time. It had to be a long, long time ago. The Romans and the Greeks and all that was going on during this time. Mm-hmm. So the influence of the Black culture has been a riveting ripple of effects throughout our times.
Yes.
Yet and forever. Still, forever. The creators of it. But yet and still, we're still at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to structure, growth, and togetherness in this unequal world. Mm-hmm. What do you feel about that?
I feel like our ancestors embodied, they were the epitome of grace and beauty. They were the most humble, they were the most loving, the most giving people. And yeah. that was our weakness, unfortunately, because to be the greatest civilization ever known to man and then be in a position that we're in now is it absolutely makes no sense, because our people, we literally have everything at our fingertips to be the greatest civilization again, but we're so now by 2022, we're so brainwashed and we've been turned down so much, and they've done the conquer and divide so well.
So
that
strong.
We don't even see that we need each other to get back to where we were. And a lot of people like to laugh at the fact that we say we were kings and queens, because they're like, oh, well, everybody couldn't have been a king and a queen. But you have to realize we were surrounded by kings and queens, and we were treated with the utmost respect by those kings and queens. So we treated ourselves like
kings and queens. Right.
So I don't understand how, even in this day and time, we can focus our energy on chasing the bag and doing all these other foolish things that is not going to help us break these generational curses. I mean, we are the original people. There is no reason for us to be anywhere but at the top. It makes no sense.
Ruling everything. Ooh,
well. Yeah. We still have a lot of work to do. I'll say that.
And I agree.
And the work is never undone. You can never tire. If you're throwing in the towel after a year, pass the torch, baby, but don't stop.
Right.
That's all. I'll say that. But don't stop. And
don't stop.
Don't stop, because it's such. We have children that are coming up behind us that have to now walk in this earth and do the things that they're killing each other at a massive rate.
Yes.
A massive rate. I've never seen so many murders daily popping up on the news, and I don't even watch the news, but the next day when I go on and go scroll, if I click on the internet, the news stuff pop up, and it's always even on social media, you have people saying rest in peace here, or I lost this person here, and this is so much. We're losing our youth before they even have the opportunity to get wet behind their ears. It's really sad. So the fight must continue, and I can't wait. I'm gonna definitely get into part one, but I can't wait for you to do the part two on the Kings, because that's gonna be I know you got when talking about the Kings, that's a discussion of everything about
everybody.
That. You know, you got that's what I'm saying. Like that's riveting already. Just having to delve into what the Black man has to face on a daily basis, the struggles of the Black man, the trying to keep up with stuff that they shouldn't even be keeping up with. It's some women we have those same struggles, but it's a difference,
right?
It's a difference, because from anything that we've seen in our people, in our communities, Black women if they stop doing stuff, if the other everything else will stop.
Yeah,
that's true.
So, and I'm leading that statement into something I read, because this to go ahead and jump into our accountability conversation. I was doing some research, I think Monday, about accountability discussions that different podcasters have been having about Black women. And the conversations are always interesting to me, because some you're going to have Black women, the attitudes of Black women, the strength of Black women. They're so rough around the edges of Black women. Yep. Other women just listen. You want a preppy? I've never understood other women just listen. That notion to me speaks a lot about really what type of,
right.
That's not. But it speaks to me for about what type of woman you're seeking and what you're looking for, because that so. But yeah, accountability. They were stating all this and all of these things, and my only thought on that whole thing was, wow, they don't, as a Black woman, this woman don't know a thing about Black women.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because I was worried about the fact that she was saying these things about us, because Black women rough around the edges. We are. Black women are strong Black women. We're resilient. And not only that, we talk back. Just the things. So I'm like, if these are the reasons why the Black woman should be, it's okay to disrespect the Black woman, then you guys are just giving away the tools of how you want your daughters to be treated, how you don't mind your mother being treated. Because when a Black man disrespects the Black woman, he's disrespecting all Black
women.
Every one of us.
You can't think that you cussing this lady out in the store, it's just, it stops there?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So why, as the conversation, as I said earlier, what I want our people to think about, why do you all think the Black woman is the most feared and disrespected woman, person, creature on this earth?
We powerful. As I always say, we powerful. Everybody want to be like us.
Yep.
Everybody want to be like us. Everybody want to be a Black woman. That's why I look at these kids and they look at all of these celebrities that's not Black, and I'm just like, they want to be just like you.
Yeah.
You should really look at that and admire yourself, because everybody is trying to be like you. But yeah, you don't love yourself, like you said, both of y'all said earlier. We so brainwashed, yeah, that, oh, I'm going to get my butt done, I'm going to get my breast done, I'm going to get everything done, look just like this Black woman over here. But the Black woman that got all that, she thinks she ugly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's sad. Yeah.
So with the strength of the Black woman, this is accountability that I want to discuss. We, because we're hard, because we are rough around the edges, we hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
A lot.
We got a comment about why Black women are the most feared. Because people fear the power and grace of Black women.
If we embrace our power, then we can also influence our men that's around us.
Exactly.
And embrace them.
Yep.
That's the problem. It's easier to keep us broken up and separated, mm-hmm, as a Black woman, as with the Black women, than it is to have us take responsibility. If we continue to have situations where things you're doing wrong for the culture are being swept under the rug,
mm-hmm,
we'll never have that time to be accountable and move forward with embracing the things that we should be doing right for the culture.
Yes,
right.
I'm big on that. I really feel like we push too much negativity as the Black woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when the person stated, so that's what kept me listening to that YouTube when I was doing my research, because she didn't just stop at the fact that this is why. She said, this is their reasons for why. This is when I talk to married Black men that are married to other races or dating other races, these are the things that they're telling me are why. She said, but when I focus on what she, because her topic was Black women are destroying the Black culture.
Mm. Wow.
That's accountability for your ass.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, that's what made me click on her her cast. Nice. Because I was like, wow, I gotta hear this because I don't like that. But it's also some of the things that she was saying. She was like, I know y'all you're frowning your face up and ready to turn me off right now, but please keep listening. So as she delved deeper, she continued to say, you know, it starts at home. We're talking to our daughters. Instead of embracing them, we're challenging them.
Right.
Everything like a competition.
Yeah.
I ain't do it like this. You shouldn't do it like this. Da-da-da-da-da. We're not allowing them to grow into themselves. We're grooming them to be better us's. Yeah. When that's not who they're born to be. They're born to be them.
Yeah.
So that was a valid point. You couldn't argue with that.
Right.
We talk to the boys like they niggas on the street. Go get your motherfucking ass. Oh, and then you don't tell them you love them enough. Mm-hmm. They hear more negativity from you and their father or no father. Right. Then they're hearing positivity. They got to deal with it at the school. If they don't look a certain type of way, they're picked on, intolerated the most.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. A young Black girl can get away with ducking and dodging a little bit from being bullied from how she dressed and how she don't dress, because nowadays you could throw on anything and be considered hip with clothes now. I mean, they wear some mismatched clothes these days. But a young Black man not having on a pair of nice shoes, not able to keep his hair cut, that's the suicide rate on that is enormous. Yeah. So now they either want to kill themselves or they're joining gangs.
Yeah.
They're looking for love because they're not getting it at home. So in grooming, we do start a little bit off first with tearing down we're in the nurturing stages and we dooming them in those stages. Mm-hmm. And the Black woman don't know how to be accountable for that, because that's how she was raised. That's how she was talked to. That's how she got through things. She just cried and kept it moving.
Yeah.
So now she expects her kids to be strong from that, but that's not strength. That's trauma and that's torment.
Yes.
So we're constantly passing on this generational curse of child, just trauma.
Yeah, pain. It's just pain.
Pain from every generation.
Yeah. I pay. Now, I'm not going to be fake and make it seem like I don't have a slick mouth when it comes to my I love on them. I make sure that I love on them. And when I do have to get real raw with them, I explain to them why I'm being that way, so that they know that I'm not being this way because I'm trying to be mean or hurt your feelings, but they need to have accountability for what they did for me to react in this particular way. And I just want to make sure that as they get older, because my oldest is 10, which is my boy, my only boy, and I need him to understand his role in this world. Mm-hmm. And I need him to understand that you have to be responsible. You can't, we're not going to baby you. You're 10 now.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to move in a certain kind of way. I'm grateful for the area we live in. It's a predominantly Black area, but it's a really good area still. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have to go to school and deal with BS and then come home and deal with BS. You're in a good environment at school and at home. So your behavior should should show that you are being raised in a certain kind of way. But when it's time to reel him in, he's definitely going to get the raw aspect of it. But the problem is we get parents who give the raw but don't explain why they're being that way.
That's the problem.
It's scar the child because it's like, I don't understand why mommy is talking to me like this. I don't understand what I did wrong. I don't understand why she's mad. And right. They live with that feeling like that's how I feel all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
But it's not the case. So I talk to my son and my daughters so that they know this is why you're being talked to this way, because your behavior was unacceptable. And mm-hmm. This is how you need to move through this world, and this is how you need to behave as my child, and these are your responsibilities. And we need to have dialogue with our children. We have to. It's funny because my husband said to my son last night, he said, if you get $1 million, don't go get a Lamborghini. Don't go do this. Don't go. He had a whole list of things. Mm-mm. He was like, you don't go do any of those things. And we were laughing. It was a jokingly moment, but it was serious because we don't even teach our kids how to handle money and things like that. And they go into the world and don't know what to do. So we have to have conversations. It's crucial that we talk.
And everything that you just said with your son, that's all out of love. A person that doesn't love you, not giving you those types of conversations, they don't care. So he said the key is to recognize the trauma, then act to eradicate it from our consciousness.
Yes,
exactly. That's a great statement, E. And it's very true, because if you can recognize what you're going through,
mm-hmm.
you can be easier understanding what your children are now, what you're pushing on them. It's definitely a helping situation. Y'all both can be free of it, because before you make them the target, you gotta be accountable for seeing your own issue.
Yes,
therapy definitely works with that. We gotta have therapists that look like us, that know exactly what we're doing. Because when you get when you go into certain therapists, they don't understand everything. So
true.
You know, you gotta have people who look like you. Yeah. So, continuing and furthering the conversation, when I made the earlier statement, as far as the fear and the disrespect for the Black woman, what do you guys think could be some key issues or some things that we can do to bring us more into focus of being accountable for ourselves? Emmanuel just put up a good one when he said the key is to recognize the trauma so that we can get rid of it in general. But if it's not even a trauma, and I can't even say that, because I think most Black women have trauma, some type of trauma in their life. And it could be from anywhere, but most of it stems from childhood through teen years, and you know, all the way up through that, you've experienced something that has caused a traumatic effect on your life. Do you think that when people have trauma bonding, because a lot of people relate to each other off of that, do you think that is do you think it's a good way to get rid of trauma by bonding with someone you have trauma that has the same types of trauma with you? That's the question.
Absolutely. I remember I was working at a particular job, and I was when I was in training, I became good friends with two women who were in that training class as well. And we were having conversations about just how we were raised and things we've experienced with our parents. And it was funny because we were like, oh, were we raised by the same people? I don't understand. Like, you didn't know that happened to me or that I've heard that before. So I definitely think we can bond and become closer off of our trauma. And speaking to what you were saying before about us having therapists who look like us, and I just posted on, what day was it? The last week in January, I put a blog post about post-traumatic slavery syndrome and comparing that to PTSD and talking about how our community, we shy away from therapy. We've always shied away from therapy, but we are coming into ourselves and realizing that it is an essential part of life, regardless if you are experiencing a direct trauma right now. But it's important to have therapists who look like you, who can relate to what you're going through, because nine times out of 10, if you have if you Black and you have a Black therapist, even if they weren't raised quite like you, they can connect on a deeper level. They can understand where you're coming from. And I think we need to have those conversations and expose the trauma that we've experienced, because there's really no other way for us to heal from it without exposing it. And I think it could be a grander conversation. I don't necessarily think we have to have quiet, secret, one-on-one conversation with therapists. We should, but we need to have a bigger conversation. We all need to let it go, because we've all really been going through a lot of the same things.
That's right.
For a very long time.
That's right. That's very true. Very, very true. I truly, truly want to thank you, Ms. Taylor, for joining us today, because you have definitely brought a highlight. I enjoyed the conversation. Yes. The interview was wonderful. You answered all the questions, of course, and gave thorough information about your book. So if you all, when we upload this onto our website and our pages, you know, all of our social tags and all of that, it'll have all of your information on there. So how they can get the book, your website, your contact if they want to reach out, because she offers other services as well. And that's, let me let her say this really quickly. What are your other services
you provide?
Well, I am, outside of writing books, I also write blogs. I worked in corporate America for a really long time, so I'm like a life insurance advocate. So I've written life insurance blogs, and I also help people with starting small businesses, helping them build business credit and teaching them the importance of building business credit and what they can do and how they can use that in their personal lives, because it takes nothing to start an LLC and start building business credit. A lot of us are crippled financially because we don't know how to build our personal and business credit. And so I help people in that aspect as well.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to put that information up for you guys. And it's on her website. Everything she does is definitely listed on her website. So thank you, Queen. Do you have anything that you want to say to our listeners today in regard to your Black Queen Struggle book?
Well, just that I was very intentional about this book. It took a lot of research. I put a lot of time and love into it. I've been writing since I was in ninth grade, but originally I was writing those urban fiction novels, you know, things.
Yes.
I was coming into myself and elevating. I didn't want that to be what I put into the world. I might still, you know, maybe, but I wanted to be more intentional. I wanted to be an inspiration. I didn't want to just have people read my work and it was entertaining to them. I wanted to teach them something and inspire them to either do something or to continue learning about their history. And so Black Queen Struggle is not just a book you buy and you just have it, you read it, and that's the end of it. It's a book that I want you to read over and over and over again, and you can give it, you can pass it down. If you want it to be a gift to your loved ones, I think this is a better gift than flowers for Valentine's Day. So it's definitely worth purchasing and reading multiple times. I amaze myself when I pick it up and read it again every time.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And we thank you, Miss Sharon Bell, for dropping that comment about Brooke. She said, "I'm so proud of Brooke. You ladies are amazing." Thank you, lady. Thank you, Queen.
Thank you.
Thank you all to all of our listeners and our viewers today. We loved because our, for one, the podcast is dedicated to the Black culture, but more so, we're gauging our audience, and I'm sorry, our direction to more of our Black women, because we're Black women, and we want to always be able to have that conversation of who we are openly with anybody else that's just like us. So I encourage you all to check out the Black Queen Struggle. When we put that information on out here for you all to get it, check it out, get the book, go read the excerpt, go read the pretext. It's on her website. You will see it. So you can see all of this, and it'll give you reasons as to why you want to know more about the other woman, because all that tune your nose up, frowning when you see another Black queen, that has to end.
Yeah.
We have so much work to do, ladies. And for everybody that's listening that knows of the work, because you're living the life every single day of being a Black queen, you know it's work to be done.
Yeah.
So thank you all, as always, for listening. Thank you all for tuning in. You know, regardless of everything, it's always a great time to catch our SW podcast. And of course, we like you. We love you. We appreciate y'all. You guys are always dynamic. Thank y'all so much for being our audience. Thank you, ladies. Y'all have a wonderful evening. And I will be checking you out, Miss Taylor. Thank you again for your time.
Order my book now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Queen. Y'all have a great evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.